This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. Tensions have been high in the New Hampshire House of Representatives this legislative session between lawmakers of opposing parties and between lawmakers and members of the public. I spoke with Speaker of the House Sherman Packard about how he's handling these tensions among representatives. I know the House has met once indoors in full session this year in the big sports complex in Bedford. Are you confident that the House can continue to do its job, meet its deadlines, and you know, given all the challenges posed by the pandemic still, including the safety risks to members who, quite frankly, are elderly in age in many cases?
Well, the fact of the matter is we've had between the Democratic-controlled legislature all the way up until December 2nd when we were sworn in, we've had three sessions indoors out to UNH. We had the one outdoor session, and then we had the session that I put together where we did it in the cars. We've had a day and a half session at the Bedford Sports Complex, and there hasn't been one reported case of somebody catching COVID in all those meetings.
With almost every legislative hearing available via live stream, lawmaker conduct is more visible than before, and lawmakers in both the House and the Senate have been caught using some profanity or making derogatory comments toward minority groups over Zoom. How have you been handling those kinds of comments from your colleagues?
Well, the best we can, and I guess that's the best I can tell you. I mean, every single week in the calendar, we send out emails to our members on both sides of the aisle, and we try to do the best we can, use every avenue we can to tell them that, you know, you're live. If you're going to make some kind of a derogatory comment or something like that, and it's been done by both sides of the aisle, not just one, then turn your video off and turn your mute you yourself or something. But it's been a real challenge. This kind of stuff never happened when we were meeting in person. And this all happened with these Zoom meetings, and it's discouraging. But for the time being, it's something we have to live with. I mean, we contact them. We let them know that they made a statement and that it was wrong. I'm not sure what else you can do.
Remote access to House committee hearings have led to a lot more engagement from members of the public during the pandemic. New Hampshire residents who haven't been able to make it to the State House, maybe in the middle of a workday, for example, are now able to, you know, check it out during a break and participate. House committee has voted against keeping remote access for hearings after the pandemic. Why isn't it a good idea to increase public access to what lawmakers are up to?
For 225 years, we didn't have remote access to committees, and the legislature worked fine. There's a lot more out-of-state participation from people on certain subject matter than there ever was, and it's because of Zoom. And what we're looking at is participation from New Hampshire residents, and no final decisions have been made at this point. So I don't know where you're saying that a decision has been made that this is all going to go away. It might, but at this point, no final decision has been made as to how we're going to move forward.
Well, I did say a House committee has voted. I didn't say that it was a definitive decision, but I'm struggling to understand why more participation in a representative government isn't a good thing.
I didn't say it wasn't a good thing. I just said what we're getting is a lot of participation from out-of-state groups that on certain subject matter normally you wouldn't get.
But more New Hampshire residents as well, too, no?
We're getting a lot more participation from New Hampshire residents. And that's why I said no final decision has been made yet.
Well, as residents have been able to participate, lawmakers are having more interactions with public members over some bills that they wouldn't have had otherwise. I know that's led to some tense moments between lawmakers and some constituents. The Speaker Advisory Group is an oversight committee that reviews complaints about House members from residents. I know you've only just reinstated it this year. I'm wondering, why did you reappoint it, and has the group seen many complaints yet this session?
I reappointed it because of exactly what we were talking about a few minutes ago. I set it up because of all the complaints we are getting from citizens, from statements made to them by certain legislators of both parties, not just one, of both parties. And so if a complaint is sent into the office from a citizen of New Hampshire, we'll take a quick look at it and decide whether it goes to the special committee or not. It was just formally set up last week. And right now they are looking at one complaint.
I know earlier in this year's session, you took the step of removing a Democrat lawmaker from her committee because of a tweet that you deemed offensive. You have declined to take similar action against lawmakers who've used some homophobic language, referring to LGBTQ people as having a, quote, deviant sexuality during a House committee meeting at one point, or shared an anti-Semitic message from a website online. What's the role, as you see it, of the House Speaker in punishing or censoring lawmakers on either side? And what's your standard for taking action?
Well, the member from Merrimack was taken off her committee for calling a member of the public a terrorist. Under Speaker Shurtleff, a Republican member called a person a terrorist, and he was removed from his committee. So I haven't done anything that hasn't been done in the past under Democratic leadership. And she also insinuated that the gentleman, the chief over in Troy, was part of the actual break-in into the Capitol, which he was not.
This is the police chief in Troy who attended the Washington, D.C. rally. He did not break into the Capitol.
He attended the Washington, D.C. rallies, yeah. But he was not part of the storming of the Capitol. That's why she was taken off her committee. I'm honestly a little bit sick and tired of being accused, of, not by you, but by people saying, oh, well, you unfairly treated the member from Merrimack, when I have done nothing more than what the former speaker and what former speakers have done. The minority leader asked me if I would sit down and talk and have a conversation with the member from Merrimack, and she refused. And if she had done that, she would have still been on her committee.
But to my specific question about another member referring to the LGBTQ community, quote, having deviant sexuality, when you hear that, what are your thoughts?
When you hear that, we go to the committee, we go to the member, we tell him he's wrong, and we ask him to apologize. And if you look at the apology that that member gave, I think if that's not acceptable to people, then I'm not sure what is. You know, he was sincerely upset at himself for saying it. And I think his apology pretty much clearly stated that.
House Speaker Sherman Packard, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
It is Morning Edition from NHPR.